ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam text number 34 of the 14th chapter of the 7th canto. Patram tvatra niruktam vai kavibhi patra vittamai हरिरेवैक उर्विश यन्मयं वैचराचरम् Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O King of the Earth, it has been decided by expert learned scholars that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, in whom all that is moving or non-moving within this universe is resting and from whom everything is coming, is the best person to whom everything must be given. Whenever we perform some religious act in terms of dharma, artha, kama and moksha, we must perform it according to the time, place and person, kala, desha, patra. Narad Muni has already described the desha, place and kala, time. The kala has been described in verses 20 through 24, beginning with the words ayane vishuve kuryat vyatipate dinakshay. And the places for giving charity or performing ritualistic ceremonies have been described in verses 30 through 33, beginning with saramsi Pushkaradini Kshetrani Ahashritani Uta. Now, to whom everything must be given is decided in this verse. Harir Eveka Urvisha Yan Mayam Vai Characharam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the root of everything, and therefore he is the best patra or person to whom everything must be given. In Bhagavad Gita it is said, Bhoktaram yagya tapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhridam sarva bhutanam nyatva mam shanti mrichyati. If one wants to enjoy real peace and prosperity, he should give everything to Krishna, who is the real enjoyer, real friend and real proprietor. It is therefore said, yatha taror mula nishchanena tripyanti tatskanda bhujopashakha Pranopaharacha yathendriyanam tathaiva sarvarhanam achyuteja. By worshipping or satisfying Achyuta, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, one can satisfy everyone, just as one can water the branches and leaves and flowers of a tree simply by watering its root, or as one satisfies all the senses of the body by giving food to the stomach. Therefore, a devotee simply offers everything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead to receive the best results of charity, religious performance, sense gratification, and even liberation. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Of the earth, it has been decided by expert learned scholars that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, in whom all that is moving or non-moving within this universe is resting and from whom everything is coming, is the best person to whom everything must be given. So I am untimely sitting on this Vyasasan. In fact, as the translation says, that Lord Krishna is the best person or the most perfect person whom everything must be given. In today's time, we normally even don't treat those people whom we see with our own eyes with proper respect, love. We cannot even understand our own personality. What to talk of trying to understand God whom we cannot see through our senses. And then to understand God as a person, and then to understand Him as the best person or the perfect person. And then give everything to that perfect person. So the whole equation is very complicated, especially in these times of Kali Yuga where impersonalism is so prevalent. Thomas Aquinas, he used to say that we cannot know what God is, but we can only know what God is not. So that was his perception. And therefore, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu says, it is so difficult to understand God as a person, and trying to understand God only through the denial, the attributes of denial, it's not possible. Why? Because human being, he's constructed, he's given by the mercy of the Lord such advanced sense of perception. Not only that, his senses are so dynamic, so powerful. The material mind and senses, they themselves are so powerful, they demand higher levels of reciprocation from the nature itself. And when the understanding comes that you want to understand God only through denying his attributes and his actual beauty, and trying to understand God through the negations of this world, it is like we are starving a person from his real, from actually his nourishment. So therefore the Vedic scriptures, in fact most of the religions, they don't touch this point in detail, how God is a person. They more or less focus on the rules and regulations. But especially in the Vedic scriptures, there is a great emphasis given on how God is a person, about his personal features. And therefore our acharyas, although this logically, the personality of Godhead is not easy to comprehend. In fact, Sridhar Swami says that how can you understand Lord as a person just by means of knowledge? It is not possible. Why? Because the Supreme Personality, the person, just like we have our likes and dislikes. Now when we have our likes and dislikes, we don't define our likes based on what is actually to be liked and what is actually to be disliked. Do we actually do like that? We are struggling to align our lives according to the likes and dislikes of the Supreme Personality of God. In spite of knowing everything, we have our own independent likes and dislikes. So he defines that Krishna is actually the supreme autocrat. He is the Supreme Personality. He has decided what he likes and he has decided what he does not like. And therefore, what remains for us is not the ability that whether we understand him or not. You understand what is an autocrat? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, Krishna is the supreme autocrat. Autocrat means one who defines his way of living. And he wants everyone else to live according to that. We, as a limited part and parcel, we anyways have no ability. And he is taking full responsibility to make us fully happy and satisfied if we can serve him the way he likes. He is taking that full responsibility. And therefore, Bhagavatam says here, he is the perfect person. Now, if Krishna has decided what he likes and does not like, where does the question of trying to understand him come? Because all what is left for a living entity is basically simply follow what he wants and simply don't follow what he does not want, what he tells not to follow. So therefore he says knowledge is just merely to engage one's mind and senses, that's all. Otherwise there is no purpose of knowledge. Because first of all people are dull, they don't understand, and if they understand they try to speculate like this. We can understand only God through what he is not. like that. This is the classic misuse of intelligence. So therefore, Vedic scriptures, they touch the personality of Godhead. And in fact, Krishna is so compassionate. Like, currently it's a time of a political scenario, a voting season. And most of the politicians, wherever they go, they try to find out what is lacking in each and every place. And they give promises. I will provide what you lack. And what you have, you don't have to, don't worry. To provide what you lack, I will not take away what you have. And conditioned living entity is so pleased. Like just one person, he said that I don't care which party comes to power as long as he meets my needs, that's all. So such is the condition of a living entity. In fact, deep within our hearts, if someone were to say someone else is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that would not even matter to an ordinary person as long as everything he is getting is provided. Everything he wants it's provided. Even as devotees, when Krishna does not fulfill our expectations in our way, sometimes we say, Krishna, how are you as a person? Please reciprocate. And we are struggling to actually re-establish our own faith. Standing in front of the deities. If you are there somehow, Shumi, if you are there means what? You are there. But that is our shallow faith of a normal conditioned living entity. So therefore, Krishna tries to attract such living entities in the verse of Bhagavad Gita, the verse Yoga Kshemam Vahamyam. At a superficial level, he tries to tell those people who are just looking for their basic needs and wants. And basic needs means not just food, clothing, shelter, but the wants of mind and intelligence, the emotional requirement also. He said, I will provide you what you lack. And in turn, no taxes, I will preserve what you have. A guaranteed, a perfect leader. In an extension to that reciprocation, he has also introduced the whole concept of deity worship. So Srila Prabhupada, it is very interesting that although this whole world is very impersonal and deity worship, although it's not a part of this process of Kali Yuga, still Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to tell, he had emphasized two things. He told, for these people of Kali Yuga, two things are very essential. No matter, irrespective of their caste, creed, religion, they must be engaged in two things. One is the process of deity worship, and second is the chanting of the holy names. And taking this message, which was actually propounded by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Prabhupada went to the Western countries, and we see how he actually started the whole process of deity worship. He made deity worship so common by actually introducing the Jagannath Rath Yatra, that the Lord himself will come on the streets. So Prabhupada used to say, what is the difference between deity and idol? When various religions and even those of the Sanatana Dharma, they used to condemn the process of deity worship. Prabhupada says the main difference in deity worship and idol worship is life. Says, idol worship is actually nirgun. It has no qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And deity worship is actually sagun. It has all the powers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But on which basis? When it is done through an authorized process of scriptures. And that's how in Kali Yuga, Krishna actually reciprocates in a very personal way through the process of deity worship. One may question that if Krishna would be personally present, then we would even reciprocate even more properly. But that is not the case, because we see that even when Krishna, people are not ready to reciprocate with us, our own family members, they are not ready to reciprocate properly. When Krishna was personally present and showing all his prowess, still Duryodhana wanted to capture him. In fact, today's time is such, if Krishna is personally present, you know what will happen? The governments will conspire to actually capture him and control him. There'll be an alliance. Nowadays it's an alliance. So it will be world war against one person actually. Because everybody is envious of Krishna. We want to take everything whatever he has. So, therefore, especially in this age, the whole concept of deity worship has been introduced in a way that we don't directly offend, but by engaging in that particular form, we get an opportunity to reciprocate with him in a very personal way, by which we can get access to his mercy more and more. Prabhupada said that the whole process of deity worship is nothing but to engage our mind and senses and train them in how to serve the Lord in a personal way. We see now that since it is a time of Chandan Yatra, although deities are treated in a personal way, most of us don't have the experience. But all the processes which are being done are done by those, are done by us. Having faith in those people who actually reciprocated with the deities in a very personal way. Even in Kali Yuga, Shripad Madhavendra Puri, when he was worshipping Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, he used to worship daily with great love, attention, affection, and used to offer so many things and follow the whole process of deity worship very nicely. And at one point of time, the deity of Krishna actually reciprocated with Madhavendra Puri. And he said, Vrindavan is so hot, it is summertime. Why don't you please give me some, apply some chandan paste on my body. And Krishna actually instructed him that you go and collect sandalwood from the malai wood, the sandal paste of malai wood, which is especially has, which has a cooling effect. And the deity told to Madhavendra Puri that you go to so and so place and apply it on my body and I'll feel cooling effect. So this whole process of Chandan Yatra is that only. Krishna is feeling hot. So while applying this, we actually remember how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, personally in his deity form, he reciprocated with this great devotee. And by this feeling, when the service is done, we ourselves personally participate in that pastime with our own limitations. Like if you are not qualified, you cannot enter a university, for example. Or if you are not qualified, you cannot get into, if you don't have a visa, you don't get into any other country. So we are not qualified to actually personally enter to the kingdom of God and worship him. But God, out of his causeless mercy, he has come in the form of deity worship and giving the same benefit, exactly the same benefits. So Madhavendra Puri, when he was worshipping that way, then he went, what a beautiful pastime. He went towards Jagannath Puri because it's the Malai Hills. I don't know where, are the forests of Malai still there? Anybody has any? Those who take for Yatra. So basically he went to collect the sandalwood paste from the Malai Hills and on the way he halted at Remuna. And he was so absorbed in this principle of worshipping the deities because he believed that God is a person. It's not just a stone and it's not an emotional feeling that I consider this and let me consider that he is God. So God is depending on my considerations. Not like that. He actually believed that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And when he reached Remuna, he saw how Gopinath, the deity there, he was fed every day with, in the evening time especially, with 12 pots of kheer. And the kheer was so fragrant and so wonderful. And when he saw one day, he thought that, oh, I must taste this kheer. And if it is so nice, I will feed to my Gopinath also, my Krishna in Vrindavan. Just when he thought that, he actually felt that he committed a great offense. Because the process of deity worship is what? That first we cook something and offer it to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and then we accept. But when he thought that way, he considered himself as an offender. And he immediately went out of that place and in a solitary place he started chanting the holy names of Lord. But the same deity, Gopinath, was so attracted by his love that it reciprocated and it wanted to give the same pots of kheer to his dear devotee Madhavendra Puri. So Gopinath actually came in the dream of the priest, the pujari there, and instructed him that my devotee Madhavendra Puri is there, here, nearby and so place. And he desires to have this pot and he considers himself an offender. So while you made an offering this evening, I actually hid one of the pots for him. So you go and give this pot to him. And the priest went and searched Madhavendra Puri and he said that so and so happened, that Lord came in my dreams and he gave you this, he has given you this pot. Since then, the deity is known as Kheerchor Gopinath. Krishna, who's the sweet rice thief. Not a butter thief, the sweet rice thief, Kheerchor Gopinath. So just see how the deities of the Lord, they actually reciprocate with a living entity. And these are not pastimes of some ages and millenniums. Just recent Kali Yuga pastimes. Then we see in Lord Chaitanya's pastime how once when Lord Chaitanya and Nityanand, they met, they went to Gauridas Pandit's house. And after giving their association to him, they decided now it's a lot of time, now we have to go. And Gauridas Pandit said to Lord Chaitanya and Nityanand that, my dear Lord, how can you leave me? How can you go from this place? You have to be with me. I want to talk so many things. I need you to be here. I cannot survive without you. Lord Chaitanya said that there are so many people I have to meet and so many people are waiting for me. Although I wish to be here, it is not right for me and I cannot actually be here all the time. I need to even talk to other people, meet other people. Because Lord Chaitanya came to give his mercy to all. So when he said like this, Gauridas Pandit insisted, no, my dear Lord, I want you, I don't know what you, it is your problem, but you have to be here. Still Lord Chaitanya and Nityanand said, we have to go. And Gauridas Pandit then came up with a plan. He said, I will agree for you to go only on one condition. If you actually provide a deity form of yours. Now normally when a person is living, you don't worship his deity form. So Lord Chaitanya said that we are still alive and how, and this is not the process of deity worship. We are still there and I cannot make a deity of my own form and give it to you for worship. So Gauridas Pandit said, it's your choice. Either you give your deity or you be. It's not my problem. You choose what you want. So finally Lord Chaitanya and Nityanand, they personally were present when their own deity was being made. And they personally gifted their own forms to Gauridas Pandit. And they said, now you can worship. And now we'll go. Suddenly Gauridas Pandit felt that, he felt a separation that Lord Chaitanya and Nityanand will go. These are merely deities now. Just a representation. Just like sometimes a lover will say to the beloved, if I don't see you, okay, no problem, but give me your photograph. But then when he realized that I actually took the deity, it's not a fair deal that Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda are going. He could not actually handle that. So he said, no, no, no. You have said in scriptures that deity form and your form are non-different. So if there is no difference between your, Gauridas Pandit is telling to Mahaprabhu, if there is no difference between your form and the form of your deity, then you stay and let the deities go. So and Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya were perplexed. But because Krishna is actually giver of all intelligence to the living entity. He himself gave that intelligence that he could apply the scriptures in this way. But because he is the source of that intelligence, he knows how to act even more intelligently. So Lord Chaitanya said, okay, no problem. I will stand at your altar and let the deities go. So Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda stood at the altar of Gauridas Pandit. And both the deities started walking away. And when both deities started walking away, Gauridas Pandit felt that, how is it that the deities are going? And he felt that the Lord is tricking me because he is of a mystic potency. He has tricked me somehow. He said, no, wait. You come back and you go. Then he again got the deities on the altar and he told Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda to go. Then when he saw Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda going, suddenly he felt actually this was again a mistake. And he said, wait, I made a mistake, I am sorry for the final time. You come back and you please go. And this went on for such a long time that after some time, Gauridas Pandit actually forgot which were actually the deities and which were the personality. Because that was the perfect reciprocation of the deities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Out of the love of the devotee, and Gauridas actually forgot. Finally, he agreed that, okay, at least someone has to stay. He just said, okay, both of them are so perfect. He agreed that one of you stay. He decided, okay, oh, you only decide, but two of you. One pair has to stay. So that is in Mayapur Yatra, we'll be visiting that place. What is that place? Ambika Kalna, yes. Such a wonderful reciprocation of the personality of Godhead. The perfect person. Therefore, this whole process, actually Prabhupada used to say the whole process of devotional service should run on two tracks. One is the Bhagavat Vidhi and one is the Pancharatrika Vidhi. Bhagavat Vidhi is the process which we daily follow, Shravanam, Kirtanam and all that. And Pancharatrika Vidhi is the process of deity worship, especially recommended by Narad Muni. Jeev Goswami in his Bhakti Sandarbhas, he mentions that although Pancharatrika Vidhi is absolutely not essential for this age, and even without the whole process of deity worship, one can perfect his life and do all the duties thereof perfectly. Still he says that because people are such conditioned that their mind and intelligence is at such a low level in Kali Yuga, so therefore one must engage himself in deity worship, and especially recommended for grihasthas. The process of deity worship and especially Shaligram Shila also. Jeev Goswami himself recommended that although this is not the main process, but one must engage. Therefore, we see all our acharyas, although their main philosophy was loving God, spreading Krishna consciousness, and the philosophy of Shravanam and Kirtanam, every one of them had their own worshipable deity which they cherished throughout their lives. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madhav, Govindji, and various deities. Prabhupada himself had great affection for Radha Raman. And he actually constituted the whole ISKCON based on deity worship and chanting. Such a great emphasis given. Although it is not the main process. Just so that in Kali Yuga, we will be able to engage our mind and senses in somehow reciprocating in with the Lord in a personal way. Because he actually reciprocates in a personal way. So therefore, these three things are very essential. First is, which acharyas actually did, these three things. They established the vigraha, or the deity forms, all over the holy places. They excavated those things and re-established the personalities of the deities. Second, they excavated kunds, or the tirtha, which was explained in few verses before. And third was the whole process of Srimad Bhagavatam. These three things, vigraha, the holy rivers or tirthas, and the philosophy on how to apply and how to live with all that. This is a very essential aspect of the spiritual life, treating Krishna as a person and reciprocating him with him in that way. If anyone has any questions, you may ask, or comments. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.